Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And how much did you pay for your Christmas tree this year? We've been conducting a very unscientific poll on our website at WNYC.org and have found that people are willing to pay a little more for your trees depending on convenience, quality, relationship, or just because it's the holiday season. But why do Christmas trees cost what they do? For a little local insight, we thought we would bring on John Roundcity, a foreman for Soho Trees, stationed right around the corner from the WNYC studios. We also have Galen Park on the phone. Galen is a tree farmer and seller for Adam Park Trees, and he is stationed in Park Slope. So John Roundcity and Galen Park, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
John, Galen, you there?
Yeah, I am. I can hear you now.
Good. Just making sure the line's working. So, John, where do you get your trees from?
We get our trees from various states. We get them from Oregon, Washington, Tennessee, North Carolina, and also in Canada.
How do you select them?
Well, the boss starts out in July, and he goes to the farmers, and he finds who has the best crop, and he hand tags a lot of these fields and trees himself, especially the large trees.
How do you know how many to buy?
Well, they have that worked out into a system. They've been doing this for 35 years here in New York City, and they've got it down to a science there. So, and you know, it's tough to speculate the increase of business, but you know, we really try. Sometimes you know, you get a little bit less, you get a little more.
So, listeners, the phones are open for your questions about the economy of Christmas trees. 212-433-WNYC. And tell us what you paid for your tree this year. Let's continue this thoroughly unscientific survey that we've started online with a little crowdsource. Many people who wrote us seem to have paid about $10 per foot. So, folks, is that what you expected to pay this year? One listener wrote, I think I paid a lot for my tree, and I know I could have gotten one cheaper, even closer to my apartment. I paid more for two reasons. One, I bought the tree from a couple of Quebecois kids who seem to come down every year. They're nice people and an independent business, and I like them. Two, the trees I get from these people are fresh and really beautiful. I know they will last the season, and they smell great. So, folks, how did you decide how much to pay for a Christmas tree, where to buy a Christmas tree, and how you justify the price you paid if you think it was a little much? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can post at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. Galen, where's your farm?
The farm is in Barton, Vermont, which is the far northeastern corner of the state.
Can you walk us through the life cycle of a Christmas tree?
Yeah, we start with seedlings, the trees that are less than a foot high, plant them, and then it takes us about 10 to 12 years to grow a 8-foot tree. We grow everything on our farm without any herbicides or pesticides. We do it by organic practices, so it takes us a little bit longer to grow a tree than does in some other states and for other farmers using some chemical advantages.
John, when does your year start in this job? How do you see the cycle of the Christmas tree selling that you do?
When does my year start?
Yeah.
Usually in late October, I come to the city and prepare for setup. For myself as the foreman of Soho Trees. But the year starts much earlier for the boss, as, of course, he travels the country finding the best.
And, Galen, how old are most of the trees that arrive here in New York?
Like I was saying, I guess it takes us about 10 to 12 years to grow an 8-foot tree. We get a little bit less than a foot a year. And probably an average tree, if you looked at them, someone could find, you know, 15 years if they count the rings of the stump of the tree.
What are the costs associated with growing a tree, and does that differ from year to year?
No, there's some consistent costs and just the labor that it takes throughout the year to grow the tree. There's mowing around the trees to keep the grasses down. We have to shear the trees, mowing again later in the season, and tagging and handling and cutting the trees later on the season. But that's pretty consistent year to year. We don't have to worry about any watering or any other maintenance to the trees in that sense.
And how do the trees get from the farm to the sidewalk, in your case?
We have a trucker from northern Vermont that we work with. He's set up for hauling Christmas trees, and we just contract with him to bring down the trees we need throughout the season.
Is it your full-time gig, running a Christmas tree farm?
Yeah, the farm is a full-time, year-round thing. We also do maple syrup, but really it starts in May and doesn't really stop until after January, after New Year's, and we come back and clean everything up and make sure everything's squared away for the winter.
We have Galen Park, who was just speaking, a tree farmer in Vermont and a seller for Adam Park Trees. He's stationed in Park Slope right now. And we have John Roundcity, a foreman for Soho Trees, stationed right around the corner from WNYC down here in Lower Manhattan. You guys ready for some everything you always wanted to know about Christmas trees but didn't have anyone to ask? Sarah in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
I have a question about how to find the best smelling Christmas tree, because last year my husband and I tried to save a little money and we bought a tree at Home Depot. And we brought it home, and it just didn't really have that fragrant smell that hits you when you walk in the door. And this year we paid a little more at a corner place, and we got this great tree, and it smells wonderful. But I'm wondering if that's variety, if it's how long it takes to ship, or if there's any way to sort of make sure you're always getting a tree that smells great.
Galen, are different trees more or less aromatic, and would it be true even on the same farm?
No, yeah, there's some variation in the trees, but the most aromatic species is the balsam fir that we grow and deal with, and that tree gets a nice Christmas tree smell. And then there definitely will be some variation in just how long ago the tree was cut, how it was stored, if it's dried out, and how aromatic it is. And every tree is going to be a little different, too. So they're unique.
And, John, from the retailer's point of view, do you check out the trees for whether they smell really nice?
Of course. We get all of our trees late fresh cut. That means they cut them, they load them, and then they ship them to us. So we ensure the freshness, quality, and the smell. And it really depends on what region that they're coming from, too. The Douglas fir or the Grand fir, those smell like grapefruit. The noble fir has a citrusy smell to it as well. And, of course, as he had mentioned, the Canadian balsam has that nice deep pine. But it really does, you know, matter when the tree is cut, if it is stored in the warehouse. So when you go to Home Depot and everything like that, those are warehouse trees.
Would you ever reject a tree or a shipment because it doesn't smell good enough?
We have rejected shipments that have come in, and we only take the best at our stand, yes.
Marion in Hackettstown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marion.
Hi, Brian. I have to tell you, I love your show. I listen every day.
Thank you.
We go to a local farm, Donaldson's Farm, here in town, and our Home Depot does have trees, and they're cheaper, but when we go to the farm, it's a whole experience. We have four kids, and they have horse-drawn rides. They have hot chocolate. It's just a lot of fun. The kids run around. They look at all the trees. We're outside. It's cold, and it's the whole experience, so we don't mind paying a little extra.
And so what does it come to sort of per foot? Have you calculated it that way?
It was less than 10 per foot. We had our tree this year is about 8 feet, and it was maybe $65. But I know they haven't met Home Depot, like 45 or so. But as I said, it's just a great experience. You know, the family there that runs the farm is very involved, and they're very welcoming, and they don't mind the kids running and screaming. So.
And I think your youngest just made its radio debut.
He did. He loves your show, too.
Merry Christmas to your family.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Happy holidays.
So, Galen, do you charge, as a farmer, different prices to different distributors? Are you selling to, you know, some local folks, like I guess John represents here, who might be selling on the street, and on the other side of the coin to a big chain like Home Depot? And do you charge differently?
We actually, all the trees that we grow, we sell ourselves, and we don't wholesale any trees off our farm. And so we kind of have to keep our stock set up for every season to cover that. Maybe someday, if we needed to, we could sell some wholesale, but at the moment we don't.
Here's a caller identifying herself as Rachel the Tree Hugger in Red Hook. Hi, Rachel. Rachel, is that you? Rachel, are you a tree hugger? Did you tell my screener you're a tree hugger?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Oh, hi. Sorry about that. That was my fault. Yeah, so I am, and I always like to buy a live tree, but my kids like a bigger tree, and my husband kind of does too. So I'm wondering if you guys can talk me through feeling okay about buying a cut tree instead of a live tree.
John, you want to take this?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, you know, there is a certain lifespan to a cut tree, and it really does matter on how fresh the tree is when it arrives to New York City. So you really have to be careful if you're getting a tree from a warehouse as opposed to a farm, of course. Of course, the tree originally came from a farm and went to the warehouse, but you must source a company that has late fresh cut trees like Soho Trees, and you would come down and inspect the freshness for yourself. You know, look at the leaves, feel them, the smell, of course. You would feel the trunk, you know, and, of course, the weight of the tree. If you have, you know, an 8-foot tree that feels very light, of course, it's not going to have a lot of water weight or sap content. In the tree, and you can really tell the freshness of the tree by that as well. I mean, if you have an 8-foot tree that I can pick up with, you know, one arm, you know, of course you're going to feel it's not very, very fresh.
Galen, you want to get in on the
what?
Rachel, go ahead.
Just to clarify, I'm not worried about the freshness of the tree. I buy my tree from a really nice guy in Park Slope by the food co-op, but I just feel badly about killing a tree, right? Oh. So I want you to tell me why it's okay to kill a tree.
Okay, Galen, you want to take that challenge?
So sure. Actually, first off, thank you for buying a tree from us next to the food co-op. And the trees are grown as a kind of like a crop on a farm. You can think of it. They're planted specifically to be cut at some point, and so it's not too different than buying cut flowers or even vegetables at the store. And it becomes a whole cycle. The tree takes in carbon to grow and then becomes mulched in most cases in the city after the season, becomes compost or tree mulch for the parks around the area. So it's actually a pretty neutral cycle. There's some, you know, some grunt labor goes into it, but in the end, it's all goes back to the ground.
You feel better about it now, Rachel?
I do. Thank you.
Especially
the tree.
Especially that mulch part, right?
Yeah.
Rachel, thank you. Is there a distinction there? Am I missing something about live tree versus dead tree, Galen? Is it like you can cut a tree and take the top of it and sell it as a Christmas tree and the rest of it will grow back versus taking a tree out of the ground and then that's the end of that tree? Am I understanding this at all?
Yeah, you're not too far off. On the farm, when we cut the trees, we try to leave a branch on the stump, and that branch can then start another tree. And there's definitely the advantage of, you know, it keeps living, but it also, it's already established a root system in the ground, and it'll grow much faster. And it's not only a kind of a moral thing, but an economic advantage just to have a tree not suffer for the first few years fighting against grasses and trying to, you know, make its way in the world.
By the way, John Hodgman just tweeted at us, I pay $10,000 to have one grow in my house, nutcracker style. So if you believe John Hodgman, then he has the most expensive tree in town. Judd in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judd. Judd,
yes,
you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Brian. Long-time listener. Never thought this would be the topic that I would be calling about, but here it is, Jewish guy. Anyway, my question is, I've seen a lot of the sellers of the Christmas trees actually from Quebec, from there seem to be French-speaking Canadians. I've spoken to many of them. I see that they live in trailers or in like kind of vans next to the tree selling stands on the street. And I just was wondering if the guest could just tell me why that is. If there's a long history of this, and how many of the sellers are Canadian?
Are those your competitors? To the north of you, Galen, there in northeast Vermont, the Quebecois?
Yeah, sure. They have much larger farms up there. A lot of trees do come down, along with a lot of Canadians who sell in the city. The caller was asking about, you know, the tradition of staying there. In a lot of cases, you know, we're down here just for the season, the 3 or so weeks. And you kind of take whatever living arrangements you can come up with. We've had some far less than glamorous arrangements, but luckily we're not staying in a camper on the street these past years.
There you go, Judd. Some people are not happy about what they're paying for their tree, like Martine in Windsor Terrace. Hi, Martine.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How much did you pay for what?
I paid $90 for a tree, which is more than I wanted. I told the guy, they say that it's $10 a foot, which I think is pretty standard from the years past, but it's definitely a lot more than people pay in the suburbs, and I know that.
Do you have a 9-foot tree?
Well, I just measured it, actually, and it turns out it's 8 feet. And what I told the guy was that it's been no more than 70. He pulled the tree out. My wife and I, you know, liked it, so we said, sure, that's good. When I told him I wanted a 70, you know, about a $70 tree. So I said, that one looks great. We'll take it. We put it in the car, and then the guy tells me it's $90. So, you know, I asked for a $20 less tree. At that point, it's already in the car. I just paid it. But now I just measured it, and it's not actually 80. So I just felt a little bit taken. And then the other factor is that the certain sellers advertise that they will donate to the PTAs of local schools. So our school sends out emails saying, please go to this seller so that we get some money. So my son's middle school said that, hey, we made $100 last year, so please go. It was a great money raiser for us. And I thought, $100, only 10 parents went to this one place to buy trees? That seems so low. And when I signed the book, you know, the little composition book that the seller keeps track of all the logs, all the schools that are referenced, it was more than 10 names on there already. And, you know, the season's just getting started, I feel like. And he says to me, even if you have friends that don't have kids who go to the school, just tell them to mention the school, we'll still give money. So I kind of wonder if that's a scam as well. Are they giving the money to the schools that they say they're going to give? Or is it just a great way for them to draw a bigger crowd?
Do either of you know anything about that kind of arrangement with the school?
We do donate trees to many schools. The Chelsea High School right across the street here, they come over every year. We've been giving them free trees.
You just donate a tree.
Orphanages, fire departments, police department.
And does haggling go on? It sounds like Martin, if he knew what was cut there, he might have tried to negotiate down from that $90 a little.
You know, it does happen. It's, you know, it's like the old marketplace there on the street. Really our approach to haggling is we really try to work with people's budgets and get them the best tree that they can have for what they can afford.
And this may make you feel a little bit better about what you paid, Martin. We had one listener who wrote in that they paid $160 for what they said was a beautiful 8-foot tree at Broadway and 88th Street, saying, could have gotten a way cheaper one, but don't want to play Scrooge at Christmas. And several other people also said they were willing to pay a higher price just because they felt bad that their tree vendors had to stand out in the cold all day for these weeks. So a little sympathy for the Christmas tree seller there. All right, just tell me one more thing. Honestly, do you charge different prices in the pricier neighborhoods compared to the lower income neighborhoods of New York for the same tree? Galen, do you know?
No, we don't. We have the same price at all of our lots, and we don't really like to haggle. Just keep it consistent and fair and the same and friendly, and hope everybody comes back next year.
Same question?
Yeah, consistency definitely is the key with the pricing of the trees. But, you know, there are many factors as far as location of your stands and rent that you're paying with the stands and everything. Here over at Soho, we rent out the whole park through the Parks Department. We keep our generator running 24/7 so we can have our inflatables and that people can see. So, of course, all that's factored into the price, but there is a consistency with the price, of course.
John Roundcity is a foreman for Soho Trees, and Galen Park is a tree farmer for Adam Park Trees. John and Galen, thanks so much. Merry Christmas to you both.
Merry Christmas.
And if you would like a good tip, folks, on where other WNYC listeners are buying their trees, or if you've already bought a tree and would like to share your experience and price point with other listeners, keep our crowdsource going on the show page at WNYC.org.